guys, you're saving all this. You're saving all this gold here. We weren't even recording.
We're recording. Oh, I was talking about my sweaty Joy-Cons.
We weren't even recording.
I beat Octopath Traveler, which is a waste of time. I didn't even like. I was doing it just to distract myself from cardio, and even that was boring.
Hopping right into that. What Octopath Traveler? What is that?
It's it was meant to be
it's
this
a puzzle
like,
game.
Big,
right?
Well, no, it's an RPG. It's like a hyper JRPG.
Yeah, that's why
it was meant to be a huge 16-bit throwback, but it ended up being like pretty worse than a lot of those 16-bit games that I liked a lot. Dang it! I mean, people really like that game. So sorry if that's a hot take. 2020.
I thought you loved that shit.
I do when it's done well.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Instead, it was like. So it's weird, bro. Oh, you just cracked open a whole can of worms here, buddy.
2020.
2020. New year.
New year.
I'm not going to complain about garbage games no one thinks about.
Can
we discuss for a second that Bravely Default 2 is happening, but everyone forgot about Bravely Second?
You're picking the mic.
Sorry. I just didn't get that. Bravely Default 2. That already exists. It just had a different name. Also, everyone's like, they should make an old Final Fantasy again. They did. It was called Bravely Default.
Did you ever play Bravely Default? Because I know
I did.
I didn't play it.
I didn't play either.
You guys.
I knew that I wouldn't like that.
When the sequel comes out and I'm dropping all those references, you're not going to know what I'm talking about.
I mean, look, when you're streaming it and then all of a sudden everybody in the world's streaming it, when there's 300,000 people watching it on Twitch, I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on my way to Bravely Default.
Oh, man, Bruce, your pants are going to be around your ankles on that.
I know, it's true.
Everybody's going to be firing off Bravely Default memes in chat and you won't know what's happening.
So is pants around your ankles, is that just purely like you're going to be embarrassed?
You're embarrassed.
There's so many implications to that image in my head.
Yeah, usually nobody says that. It's usually caught with your pants down.
Yeah, pants around your ankles is a lot more intimate. Like a lot more sensual.
Oh yeah, it is. I just like thinking about Bruce that way.
Yeah,
like the Morton Salt kid, with your little rosy buns poking out. Well,
that's when the dog's like, pulling down her pants. Oh, uh-huh. That's sunscreen.
It is sunscreen.
Never mind. The salt girl has
salt
umbrella.
The umbrella.
She's just sprinkling
that's
salt.
That's right.
Her.
Salt girl's umbrella. The umbrella.
I'm too young for either of these references.
They weren't a Bravely Default, so I don't know anything.
Well,
about
Well, I mean, I think she's still on the sunscreen bottle even now.
Oh yeah, no, I know the sunscreen lady.
All right, good. Yeah, sunscreen there we go. Broker. So I knew
that
Zoomer,
one gets me. The salt one.
I knew a Zoomer
heard
would
of,
know.
Yeah.
Although you're not a Zoomer, you're 100%.
Zoomers don't wear sunscreen.
I told we've gone over this.
They
I straddle
outside.
The line between Zoomer and Millennial.
You're a Boomer.
I am.
Both.
I'm not a Boomer.
Oh, so tiny.
I violently protest this.
I protest too much. I'm not a Boomer.
We're on Twitch. That means we're all.
All of us are Zoomers.
All the streamers are millennials. All the watchers are Zoomers.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I'm fine with that.
And then all the boomers are over on ESPN ignoring that Twitch exists.
That's yeah, about right.
Watching exactly baseball right. And watching the 20th life insurance ad in this given commercial break.
I wonder.
God, watching broadcast sports is so depressing.
It really is.
It's,
I mean,
it's very sad. But also,
it's like erectile dysfunction commercials.
There's a fuck ton of
life insurance.
Yeah, so many like, people spend so much
money. Old people have all the money. They've been alive longer. It's not fair.
Well, so it's not even true that the old people have the money. It's more of that people think the money is on television.
Oh.
And they think that we are like the low rent television producers. Mm. Just so you guys know.
Which yeah.
is, that is the reason why there isn't as much money in Twitch and YouTube as there is in television.
It's just because people that control the money just assume that to be the case.
Because we're low effort, we're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
And this is why, in case you've noticed a trend about, I got one of those. I got one of those for Stephanie. It's amazing. By the way, you can cram it anywhere. Didn't mean that.
You definitely meant that.
Yeah, you definitely meant that.
We're on RAW. You can't be saying that stuff. Even though I said it. If you noticed a trend where like you've watched media channels that like get a lot of viewership for a certain kind of content, and then they do a podcast, and they transition more into podcasts as the years go by, that is why. Because podcasts in the new media space is one of the only things that gets any kind of ad rate. Everything else is just nothing.
That's right.
For some reason, advertisers only trust podcasts. So, yeah. As
yeah,
you,
I mean, well, it's the most relatable to the media they already know. Of like
radio.
Radio.
Just
and,
people talking.
Yeah, right. It's
This stuff scares them when we're like browsing the internet and talking to chat.
Like, but what's going to come up? Are you going to get a cat? But is that product? Is there a brand on it? Are we getting ad revenue from the brand?
What happens if they say a bad word? It's like, just ignore it. You just ignore it. It's really easy. You just don't acknowledge it.
And if it's like a custom integration, then it takes so much more back and forth. Where like a podcast is, here's 60 seconds of copy, read it. Or rather, it's a 60-second spot, and then they give you 3 minutes of copy and tell you to read it. And then it's not a whole lot of back and forth about with an individual client. So if they were to sponsor a gameplay from media producer, the media producer would be like, well, like, we play these kinds of games, and this is our tone, so we're going to read the ad this way.
We're having a hot boomer conversation right now. This is a hot boomer conversation about sales.
Wait a minute.
We're firing back at the boomers. This is like...
Oh, we are.
This is the millennials taking ground.
We're taking ground.
All right, I'm fine with that.
We're justifying our position.
I'm fine with that. Look,
to the old media moguls of the world, you know?
We're trying to tell them that they should give us their money.
Yeah, and we're
hey, rich guys.
We're doing it in their terms and their language.
Give us your money.
Do you realize the?
This is so bad. I'm sorry.
Do you realize we can talk to the Zoomers? Look at all the Zoomers we're talking to right now.
Yeah, we have the ear of the Zoomers. That's the hardest thing to get nowadays.
What are Zoomers into now that Fortnite's done? I mean, Fortnite's too popular. It's played out.
Fortnite's not done.
I mean, I know, but like the
You know what's done? Twitch is done. Haven't you seen the Twitch is over party hashtag?
No.
Guys, that's like months old.
Wait, yeah, it was months old.
Then it's old. Then it's old news.
No, but that means Twitch is over.
And we just back in.
What? We're back?
As soon as it stops trending, we're back.
Oh, I know what it is. Steven Universe Future. That's what the Zoomers are on about.
What?
Yep. It's back, Bruce. You gotta keep in touch with the youth.
What is that? What is Steven Universe?
Gems, Bruce.
Is it a game?
No, it's a show.
Isn't everyone's a gem?
Yeah.
Bruce. I know, that's all I know.
But you may not. But what gem or some people they haven't revealed it yet? You gotta wait till the future.
Is it a show?
Yes.
It's a show, but they're all gems.
It's the Zoomeriest. Wait, let me double check that upstairs.
I mean, Steven Universe, I think, has been popular for a while.
Think of a show more Zoomer than Steven Universe.
I'm not a Zoomer, I wouldn't know. You know?
There's gotta be a show more.
I straddle the line in that I have the ear of the council.
SpongeBob.
Oh, that? No.
SpongeBob still, yes.
Yeah,
Zoomer? SpongeBob still, it's still
it,
in.
It permeates the memes.
Yeah. Millennials are going wild on SpongeBob memes, though. I don't know that that's...
They are. They're both though. Zoomers love SpongeBob.
Teen Titans Go, that's another good example.
Okay.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. That shit sucks.
That one's really good.
That shit sucks? Whoa. It's Zoomers. I'm so sorry, Zoomers. He didn't mean that. He's just a boomer. He's trying to understand the culture.
I'm not a boomer.
He's trying to do favors for you right now. Oh, you know what's weird is I generally assumed in retrospect that everything I watched when I was young was trash. Just absolute garbage.
Really?
And to a degree, it's mostly true.
Most of that is true.
I disagree.
However,
we know you do because you love Kangaroo Jack, but...
Okay, you didn't have to bring Kangaroo Jack into this.
I mean, I did.
I have plenty of good taste aside from Kangaroo Jack.
So I'm doing this project is to, you know, whatever, I'm watching movies. But I'm watching all the Disney animated films. I got up to Jungle Book, which... is way better than I remember.
The anime one's great.
The anime one's perfect.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. Which is weird because it's surrounded by some ones that are not so hot. Sword in the Stone is pretty fucking flat.
I don't remember that one.
I
watched it a ton, but I don't remember.
It's not bad, but it's also not good. And like 101 Dalmatians is not good. But Jungle Book is fucking great. And then that made me think, like, I used to watch Tailspin all the time, also on Disney Plus. So I watched it and I was like, holy shit, Tailspin's actually pretty good.
Oh, that's
like
good.
The animation quality is pretty good. The episodes have like a good structure. It's not all canned animation. Like they go to different places every episode and do different things. All
right.
And like also the rapper of that show is really weird because it's the cast of Jungle Book, but set in like the 1940s,
that's weird.
Where everyone flies around planes. And
wait,
stuff.
What?
And Shere Khan is like.
Have you ever watched Tailspin?
What?
Yeah,
I've never heard of this.
Tailspin is
it's really like about air pirates.
It's like Mowgli now. What is he? What is
Mowgli's
he?
Not in it?
Mowgli's not in the show. Yeah.
Yeah, but there are people. There are humans that are tall humans.
But
what?
All the animals come up to like their knees. Yeah. So there's a whole animal culture of planes.
The shit that you watch in the 80s and 90s doesn't make any fucking sense at all. And no one said, like, there was no logic. And I feel like logic started playing a part in our media later on.
When things...
Late 90s, early 2000s is kind of when it started, like, gritty. It got gritty and real, right? All that dumb bullshit. Because back in the 80s, I just watched Weird Science.
Oh, that movie sucks.
There is no logic in that movie at
sure
all.
Sure there is. Kids want a bone.
Well, yes. That's,
and party.
But they somehow voodoo up a woman.
Yeah.
They voodoo up with science a woman.
They make an entire human by feeding in male fantasy objects.
But with
tits.
Voodoo and
science. And she's smart, I guess.
Voodoo and science.
Wait, you haven't seen Weird Science?
I have no idea what
they're
talking about.
They made a TV show out of it somehow. Yeah.
It's what is it?
Terrible.
So, two losers in high school want to get laid, so they have a computer.
Uh-huh.
This is where you're going to have to start suspending your disbelief. They have a computer. And then they just, like, scan in a bunch of girl shit. And then, they, I don't know, they pour some... What, there's, like, some freak accident and get hit by lightning or something?
No, well, the voodoo. That's where the voodoo comes in. Because they have...
The voodoo cracker.
They have AC/DC connectors hooked up to a doll.
Yeah.
And then the lightning strikes it.
Oh, boy.
And it creates a woman in their closet?
So it's like Frankenstein's monster mixed with...
But the overtones get fucked. Because they want to have sex with her, but then she also ends up being their mom.
It's really, what?
It's really weird.
She's like mothering them the rest of the movie, and also she's in a bikini the whole time.
85?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, go watch it, man. That's what I love about old movies is how, like, just straight-up Oedipus stuff is just bald in a lot of 80s media. Just, don't you want to bone your mom? Hell yeah.
No.
And then dudes high-five, do coke, and then you have a movie 6 months later.
I mean, it was a John Hughes movie, so, like, people love John Hughes.
Weird.
Back then. Either way, none of that shit makes sense. Now, at least there's some logic to it. Like, occasionally you'll have a throwaway line that's like, oh, okay, all right, sure, that's why that happened or whatever. But and then you get Star Wars.
Oof.
Well, there's no logic. Have you seen it?
I did see it now, yeah.
Well, what'd you think?
I grabbed my glass. No coincidence there.
Buying time. I'm trying to think of something diplomatic.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to think of
without spoilers, I would say...
What about that tiny guy? Yeah!
Babu Frick?
Yeah.
Babu Frick.
What about him, huh?
He's a great character.
There you go. And now he said something.
Did you
nice.
Like it or did you not like it? When you walked out, were you like, I liked that?
It was kind of similar how you described it. It was like this like slow dissension of enjoyment where it's like I walked out and I'm like, okay, you know, they did it. And then like as the hours went by, I was like, well, did they?
No, yeah. Yeah,
and then,
You're told that you should be happy.
Yeah.
But then when you look inside, there's nothing.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Cold.
That was really
cold and
empty.
They
kept like reinforcing, like, you know, perfect, stuck the landing, bow tied, go home, everyone, we've done it. And then I left the theater, and I'm like, something doesn't feel right. And then I like was able to put my finger on it. And I'm like, okay, it's multiple things.
At the risk of like this turning into a Star Wars podcast, Lawrence and I literally talked about it for 2.5 hours. It's just not. I don't know that I've seen anyone on even in Twitch chat that was like, guys, it was great, and here's why. Like,
yeah,
no one. Most people are like, wasn't very good.
Yeah, you can find like parts like that was cool, and that was cool, and that was cool, but boy, was that stuff just mired in stuff. Cats, however, what a dream.
I have not seen that yet.
I enjoyed Cats more than Rise of Skywalker.
How fucked up were you?
Did you?
No, I was completely sober.
You went sober?
He was totally sober. He was a driver.
I was designated driver.
Yeah. He was a driver. Lawrence and I saw it yesterday, and it was a nightmare.
Oh, man, I would have totally gone.
It was an absolute nightmare.
It's more genuine, though. I'll say that. It's a more genuine film than Rise of Skywalker. Yeah.
All right, yeah,
that
I
would
see that.
That I would appreciate. I want...
Because there was like one guy that was like, it's got to be like this.
It came from someone who very clearly loved maybe a little too much.
I want to feel a passion in a movie.
It's dumb.
It's very passionate.
It is dumb.
It's very dumb.
Like, dung.
Dung.
Like, D-U-N-G. Oh, it's garbage.
That's
it's
true.
It's shit. Like, okay. It's total shit.
Very nightmare fuel. Yeah, it's...
The source material is
horrendous. Never good.
It was never good.
I just don't know who signed off on this movie. Like, what was the progression of...
It was the director. The director had a series of very bankable hits.
Tom Hooper, yeah.
Yeah,
right. And then he like spearheaded the entire thing through like production.
And Cats as a stage production is also one of the most money earning.
It's a bankable production.
Yeah, so
100%.
You have a director that's got a series of outrageous hits, wants to do the most bankable Broadway show ever in a movie. Yeah, it's like the math makes sense, and if you're a producer, you're like, yeah, sure, take a blank check, dude. Give us our money back.
No, really,
that's not happening.
It actually really does make sense, though. I mean, like, I don't. And it's funny because I was talking to, because Rahul was there, and I was talking to him, he was like...
His life force was gone by the end of that
film. Well, same with me, but he was talking, afterwards he was like, look, if like, my agent had come to me and been like, hey, they want you for Cats, his agent would have been like, do it, and Rahul would have been like, fuck yeah, let's go! And he's right, there isn't anybody really in Hollywood that would have been like, ooh, I don't know about Cats, like, they would have been like, oh yeah, Cats was on Broadway for 30 years, like, why not be in the movie? I mean, fucking Taylor Swift's in it. And she's the most popular pop star in the world.
Yeah.
So, like...
She doesn't do much, either. She kind of just picks and chooses her projects pretty selectively.
You mean just in general or in Cats?
I mean... Oh, no. I mean in general, in her career.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's not doing, like, commercials for Tide.
No, she's just a pop star.
Yeah, of course. So, they got some fucking money, and she said yes.
Yeah, you know, again, they went to her and were like, it's Cats. And they're like, holy shit, Cats. I'm serious. I'm telling you. Nobody...
It's so funny, though, when you sum it up like that.
Well, because nobody along the way was like... I don't know about Cats. You know, like, I'm not sure. Like, Dench and Ian McKellen's in it.
Yeah,
like,
it's insane, the cast they got.
So, but it's garbage.
The like, cats they got.
It is. And I think, truthfully, it's always been a joke. I mean, it was joked on by The Simpsons long before anybody else joked about it. Obviously, Kimmy Schmidt did a season-long parody about it.
Does that make more sense now? Some of the Kimmy Schmidt stuff? Because after watching, you're like... They're just making it up.
And I always thought they were.
Yeah. There's no structure to it. There's no narrative at all. None of it makes any sense. It is a fever dream.
That's terrible. Anthony Carboni swears.
Yeah.
Actually, him and Steve Saragosa, they swear that it's going to turn into the next Room or Rocky Horror.
Yeah, really?
Like, we're going to go and watch it every year.
It's not as...
Maybe. I mean...
So a lot of people, like, play up how, like, creepy and, like, horny it is. It's just short of the line of being that. If it were actually made by somebody who seriously wanted to fuck cats and that was the whole movie, of just, like, them, like, shoving ass at the screen and meowing and purring all sexy-like, then it would be Room territory. Because I feel like there's a magic array of factors that lead to something being a hit like that. Is one, it has to be sincere. Two, it has to not be self-aware. And three, it has to be, and this is sort of me just sort of putting out my stuff, it has to be a weird window into somebody's, like, just crazy messed up kink that they never questioned.
Yeah.
So the Room is like, it's a creepy, like, vampire face man who is in who is convinced he's got an amazing body.
Yeah.
And keeps trying to push himself into, like, I'm a star roles where he clearly doesn't belong.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's his weird infatuation living on screen, and because nobody got in the way, he got to put it exactly the way he wanted.
Yeah.
Thus you have this amazing snapshot of somebody's delusion in film.
Totally agree.
Cats is just one hair shy of that, unfortunately.
One cat hair shy.
Hey. I think like people will get really, really fucked up and watch it, but I don't know that it'll be like a communal viewing party kind of thing.
Interesting. In the future.
It's based on a book from T.S. Eliot.
Oh yeah, poems.
Like, really? I mean, it's like T.S. Eliot's like, obviously a renowned writer and poet, and that's why, like, this thing back in the 70s and 80s was so popular. And again, I'm gonna go back to what we were talking about before. Shit didn't have to make sense back then. It really didn't. Like, it was just like, oh, weird media, yeah, put it out there. Like, who gives? It'll just go. And it did. So, like, it totally did.
Literally just one poem? Was it one poem that this whole thing was based off of?
Pretty much. He's talking about the nature of cats and, like, how they have a true name and stuff like that.
Okay. And someone read that and was, like, so connected with it that they wrote an
Andrew
entire...
Andrew Lloyd Webber,
yeah.
Okay, wow.
And when you read the poem, the connection does a bit make sense.
Uh-huh.
Except the, like... Shakespeare kind of figured out how to tell narratives, and Cats doesn't obey any of those rules at all. So when you try to, like, approach it from any kind of formed narrative structure, it will shatter your brain. Because it doesn't work. It fundamentally is broken. And it's just confounding why it earns so much money and it's such a...
Go see it.
Yeah. Definitely go see it.
I feel like I should.
The thing is, the movie actually has more in it to make it more of a narrative by the end of it than the play did. I watched
you've seen the play.
Yeah, the 98 DVD or whatever. Oh, man. If you watch the movie and you feel like really seeing some garbage, damn. Because that's like you take out the trippy special effects, which I actually kind of enjoyed, how broken they were.
They were really bad.
And then the score is actually worse, because I thought the orchestration in the movie was pretty solid. For trash music, it was orchestrated and produced really well. So if you just want a shittier version of all the music... and just grown-ass people in cat makeup prowling around the stage. The dancing is not as good. I thought the dancing in the movie was pretty solid.
Parts of the dancing was not bad, yeah.
It wasn't all, like, Broadway theatric. They had some pretty cool, like, b-boy stuff in it. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm not a dance person.
But the music was not okay. The music was, like, it was really, like...
Was it catchy, Bruce?
No. It hurt you.
It hurt you.
Yeah, the beginning of the movie starts out with this, like, these terrible notes that they play.
It's early 80s synth. And it's like, referencing what it sounded like.
It's, like, really dissonant early 80s synth. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even like early 80s synth that you remember as, like, oh, fun pop. It's hurts.
No.
And you're like, this is bad. I don't like this immediately.
It's late disco synth.
It's right away it hits you with this garbage that you're just like, no, I don't like it. No, stop it. Don't play it anymore. and then it doesn't. Just like the rest of the movie, which is like, all right, so this is the end, right? And then it doesn't end. You're like, oh, this is the end. It's like, no. there's lots more. He was like, what the fuck? Jeez, man.
What was the viewing experience like of everyone else in the theater? Because every time that I've seen a trailer for this, I mean, I think I've gone to like two or three movies over the holiday break, and they'd always play a Cats ad, and the theater would erupt in laughter every time and groans. And I'm like, if these are the people that didn't go to see Cats, like, what is it like there watching the folks that did go to see Cats?
Well, we went and saw a rowdy screening of it.
Okay.
So, like, it was meant to be rowdy. So, it's meant to be people, like, yelling and, like, laughing and, like, sort of...
Yeah.
Meowing.
Having a... Meowing and, like, hissing.
Yes.
Having a good time.
Really?
So it was
quite literally,
meant to be a loud screen, which is great. That's honestly the best way to say
it. How is this specified?
It's called a rowdy screening. So it was
this like a theater that like
it was Alamo. Alamo. Yeah.
Oh,
they had a host come out.
Great!
Kind of tell you the rules.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, They tried to write a nice line of being like, don't heckle because some people here might actually like the movie.
I heckled it.
Boy, did that not last.
Yeah,
I don't know how they expected people to go through Cats being semi-respectful. it was cool, though. Yeah, you were explicitly allowed to meow and hiss, just single exclamations. But yeah, I think like 10 minutes in, people just started shouting things at the screen.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, get in there.
Why are you fucking with her?
Good pooch. Just trying to nuzzle, that's
all. Pretty great, that actually.
Oh boy, and just takes.
He's like, no idea.
But yeah, it was. There were lots of exclamations of just sheer incredulity.
And you'd also see like some really deep
just
sighs.
Don't understand.
Just
like some exclamations just of like, terror, because there are times when like a kettle just be like,
jump scare.
No, please don't do that. Yeah, it's really bad. People forget that the bad movies generally come out right in January and February.
Mm.
Generally, the studios will put their garbage at the beginning of the year because we're not in the summer yet. We're also not in Oscar season because this is the the very end of Oscar season, or the very beginning of it, I guess, for 2020. So that's why you get all this garbage, and so that's why we have Cats and like all this other trash that you saw trailers for yesterday.
Got Doolittle, Call of the Wild.
Doolittle.
The bangers.
I'm honestly so surprised that Robert Downey Jr. was like, hey, the next movie I make after Avengers is going to be Doolittle.
Well,
ugh.
I kind of get it. It's like you're trying to keep the family appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that younger kids kind of get attached to you.
Maybe it's for his kids. That's what I keep saying to myself. Oh, yeah. It's for his kids.
I could see it being a career play as well. You know, maybe.
Doolittle?
I mean, if you're getting up there in years, it's either you start making kids movies or you start making movies where you play old people. And it's probably a better career move to go the family movie route, right?
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't need any money.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, he could just pick the stuff he wants to pick, so I assume he picked Doolittle because he likes it.
He might like it.
I mean, it looks like trash.
Kind of, yeah.
The CG looked terrible.
Hey, when they come to me, Fast and Furious 11.
Well, then you're going
I'm
going
to say yes.
Yeah, you're all the way in.
Yeah, because I want it. It's what I'm going
for. But also,
for
you don't have a career.
2020.
So.
What about that, Bruce? Somebody made an IMDb page for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's very
it's,
nice.
It's only Sugar Pine 7 credits, though, which is kind of weird.
That is strange.
All right.
Huh. That's weird.
I'm trying to think of, like, a question I could ask you guys. Like,
are you allowed to Photoshop your head on other people's bodies for your IMDb profile photo?
No.
Are
that's
you sure?
Definitely no.
100% no way.
Well, it depends. How close is the body to your own body? Is it not, younger
not
of your body?
No.
Oh, well, just, like, more red, bigger penis. Thing.
Are the penis usually showing the IMDb profile?
You know it's there.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig. All right, I got a question.
I'll have an arrow with a length.
Mm.
I got a question for you. Craig.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to be an actor, right?
Not necessarily.
A little wiggle room in that.
What do you want to do? Like, let's say you had millions and millions of dollars. Like, I just want to, be a producer. I want to stream. You want to produce, right?
I think producer is more my role.
So let's say a studio comes to you and goes, we've got the biggest tentpole movie. We want you to produce an Adolf Hitler biopic. What do you do? What do you do?
I thought you were going to go like Kangaroo Jack reboot.
Well, I got the same question for Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, like, basically think of it this way.
Where
like,
he has to be Adolf Hitler?
No, just
producer.
No,
producer. I'm the producer.
Like,
oh,
but he's sorry, like the first name that everybody sees. Executive producer, Kriken.
Why? Why am I the first name?
Well, I know, because it's an interesting, like, to me it's like it's an exercise in, you're trying to establish a career. You're trying to sort of start a bigger...
Yeah, I mean, Taika Waititi just did this with Jojo Rabbit, right?
Like, I know. They're trying to help you. Your chat's trying to help you.
I was thinking about that, though.
But this is a serious movie.
Okay. A serious movie?
Yeah.
I can't make it a comedy?
Have you ever seen Downfall?
No.
God.
Downfall's good.
It's good, but Jesus Christ,
yeah, but
it's a horribly depressing film.
Yeah, it's a horribly depressing film. But that kind of movie where, like, you're going to produce, like, a legendary movie, but it's about, like, a really terrible subject matter. That's what Cats is. That's
Shandler's
why I'm making the comparison to Cats. So, like,
but Cats isn't...
Oh.
I mean,
Cats brings joy
stretch
to so many, Bruce.
Well, no, but nobody knew it was bad until it came out.
But Cats, I mean, there's bad, and then there's, like, subject matter, like, dark, like, this is an oof. Like,
well, I'm trying to think
Cats
of,
is not
so
trying to offend anyone.
Trying
or, like,
to,
go, like,
oh, yeah,
you're tasking Kriken with remaking a popular creative train wreck.
So, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's another one? I'm trying to think of one that's... You see what I'm saying?
So, I wouldn't consider Hitler a creative train wreck.
I don't think it's
Cannonball
a
Run? Three Stooges. They already did that, though. They remade Three Stooges.
Yeah, they remade all of those things.
That's like a really bad...
That's why I'm trying to think of something that's like controversial, but also could really be big.
Everybody Loves Raymond the Movie.
No. People love Everybody Loves.
I know, but it's trash. Like, I'm trying to... The intersection of those two, right? People love it, but it's not good.
A lot of people don't think that. It's same with, like, Big Bang Theory.
The people who like Cats don't think it's bad, right?
Well, I think pretty much everybody's agreed that it's bad.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know that, like, people have agreed on Raymond.
Big Bang Theory, the movie.
Avatar,
that's good,
again.
Oh, yeah, Big Bang Theory, the movie.
Big Bang Theory, the movie. Okay.
This is going to be your first big
project. This is my first big project.
But
bigger, banger theory.
Can I not be self-aware?
If you refuse it, you... No, absolutely not. It has to be Big Bang Theory. Fuck. If you refuse it, then you never get another offer. All right?
Can I... Oh, my God. But can I have, like... Yeah, but what if they die at the end, or there's some sort of,
you can't change the project, Kraken. You just have to be a producer.
I just have to make
Think of it as Cats. I'm trying to use the Cats, because, like, Tom Hooper already had creative control.
I don't know if I'll take it. I don't think I would take
understood.
It.
Understood.
You would throw your own career in the trash.
But, like, I would have other options.
Would you?
I think so.
This is the man who
I just wouldn't
away
go back to that studio.
Before you go
them.
Into any room, this is the guy who said no to Big Bang.
Yeah, I know.
He could have made us $20 billion. And he said no. So think about that when you pitch him, I don't know, whatever the hell you want.
I would not have any creative control. Ready Player 2.
Yeah.
I would do that,
well,
actually.
That's easy. That's
I would do Ready Player 2. That sounds like fun.
I knew he'd say yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't...
Lawrence, they're not going to give it to you because you turned it down.
Lawrence, what about you? Would you be
would
Sheldon?
Would you be Bazinga? Would you be Sheldon?
Fuck yeah, I would.
Okay, all right.
No, he would of course be Sheldon.
I would too. I would too.
Yeah, odds
are okay, playing the character is different from being the producer that makes it without any creative say.
Well, I had to find something that you wanted to do.
You gave me the shittiest role. I'm the one that's responsible for it without actually having any control over it.
Some people disagree because the producer can hide behind that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can hide behind the bad acting of Lawrence.
I'm going to say, actually, I think early or in early Funhouse, I was the Sheldon of Funhouse.
Oh, okay. All right. I could say that. I could say you were the Sheldon of Funhouse.
I think you're still the Sheldon.
Oh, you think?
Of your own life. Yeah.
But I guess for the people who like Big Bang Theory, I could see that.
My grandmother, I think, recommended Big Bang Theory to me, I think, for
my dad did, yeah.
about 5 years in a row.
Yeah, my dad
yeah.
Saying, like, you love video games and nerd stuff.
Right.
Well, this is a show full of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you should give it a shot. And each year I say, thanks, Grandma.
I'll
take a look.
I know.
My dad, oof. The way my dad tries to connect with me is he will reiterate bits from the show to me, but without any of the timing.
Yeah.
So imagine like a joke that's even more poorly timed than Big Bang Theory can deliver.
I don't know, how is that possible?
And then it makes it. I'm going back to my family a couple weeks.
So Lawrence is Sheldon, though, right? So Lawrence, yeah.
Lawrence
is
Sheldon. Who am I? I've watched the show,
I'm
so I don't know any
Sheldon.
Of the characters.
I don't know who you are.
You'd be,
I don't know the names
you'd
of the...
You'd be the Indian lab assistant guy. Sorry, dude. You would, though.
I forget.
Whose girlfriend won?
Kaylee
A lot
Kaylee
of them man? Have girlfriends in
they
the
do.
Role.
They do. They have, like, Blossom is one of their girlfriends.
Blossom?
Mayim Bialik?
Isn't that...
I don't know. I thought she was fucking him. No? Is she
there's,
not?
There's another, like, extremely attractive girl that they just put big old glasses on and, like, there, she's nerdy now. All right. Maybe. I didn't think she was one of the romantic interests, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I could be totally wrong as well.
Alicia, there we go. One man play, Big Bang Theory on stage, featuring Lawrence Sontag as everyone.
Great.
Ooh.
Yes!
That would be actually interesting.
So, like, a studio comes to you and goes, we're going to give you $100 million to do this.
You do a one-man
yes.
play?
You say yes right away.
We're pocketing so much of that.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
I mean, I'm going to flip that question. I'm trying to think of something I would say no to for $100 million.
Yeah.
Well, so let's go back to Hitler, then. Would you play Adolf Hitler?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would too, play the man. You just, you know, like, how to walk that line as a writer where you're like...
It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movie hard. About that like, got buried?
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit. Whoa.
No,
oh.
Way back. This is like in the 80s.
Well, there's the whole fucking Summer for Hitler thing, you know?
Oh, the producers. Yeah,
well,
no,
the producers. That's
comedic.
Yeah. That's a great show.
Sure. I love that show.
Yeah, that's a fantastic show. Well, no, we're not talking about making a producers because we don't want it to fail.
Yeah.
We actually want it to succeed. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with Cats, is that Cats, like, people went to, you know, hundreds or thousands of people around Hollywood and were like, we're making Cats. And they all went, hell yeah, we're in. Let's make Cats. And then... They made trash. All of them made trash. Like, it's all garbage. And it always will be garbage. And it's kind of like this, it's sort of like this stain on a lot of these producers and actors. But maybe they'll get past it. you know, maybe they'll get past
it. Well, I think all the actors are going to get past it.
Yeah.
Most that's kind of the benefit of being an actor, not looking like yourself, I think.
Yeah. But what about the people that are, like, they're, well, see, this is what, this is
cash the check and
I was thinking, I wasn't thinking about Taylor Swift. I was thinking about the actors that started their career with Cats. Like, there's, like, a there are a couple of people that you've never heard of before. And the only thing they've done is Cats.
I think that's still, like, I think the people whose careers are above Cats will stay above Cats. I think the people whose careers started with Cats, that's a really powerful thing to have on your resume regardless.
All right.
So I'm pretty sure you can still walk your way into any number of stage productions. I don't know about, like, acting in film.
Movies, yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't think being in Cats has broken down any of those barriers, but I think in the theatric world, certainly you can, you know, make your call. You can basically do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's true. Judi Dench's career is over.
Alas. Once they shoved her out of James Bond, that was it.
That's right, she's out of James Bond now.
So I'm waking up slowly. I started watching Killing Eve. Who's the writer slash actress who did Fleabag? Did writing on Killing Eve?
Oh yeah, because
she's also doing writing on No Time to Die.
It's not Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
That's
it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
God damn.
Talk
about careers that are hot.
She was hot right now. She was a droid in Solo, right?
Was she?
Wasn't she? Hold on, let me look.
Was she the Sastroid?
I don't sound like an asshole.
Sastroid. She's great. Yeah. I love her. I love her work.
Chat, am I right? Help me out, chat.
Killing Eve is great. I could be wrong. I wasn't expecting to like it as much
as she was this asteroid, yeah. Joe says, I trust Joe.
Ah, there you go, Joe. Good call.
I thought she was the droid in Solo, and she's funny in Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, Daniel Craig specifically?
I like Solo.
Fuck yeah,
Daniel Craig. I like Solo more than the new films.
Solo and Rogue One.
They're kind of the standouts.
Somehow. The standouts. They're both good. I mean, I like them, but...
It makes sense to me.
Yuck.
Yeah, well, go back.
What?
That's an orc.
This is an ad for Raid Shadow Legends.
All right, fine, you're right.
What is Raid Shadow Legends doing?
Raid Shadow Legends is...
They're pimping out every single studio.
Yeah.
They're giving, like, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I kept getting emailed from, like, Russian ad agencies every day at Rooster Teeth, and I was like, where is all this coming from, and why is it always Raid Shadow Legends?
That's why.
Is it backed by Google?
No. It's backed by Russian mob money.
Yeah, oh, probably.
Like, it's just like, you know, World of Tanks and shit.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff is always...
Wargaming?
Yeah, Wargaming.
What? Is that mob money? Oh, I'm getting a look.
I mean, we did Wargaming at Funhouse and stuff.
You're taking mob money.
That's true.
I don't think I've taken mob money.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, we don't actually know that it was mob money, but everyone said it was. There was these rumors of, like, the fact that it could be mob money. And we were always like... We don't know. And then you'd go to the Wargaming party at E3, and it was like a bunch of like coke and hookers everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're always like, this is not an E3 party. This is like a fucking Scarface party, you know?
I wasn't invited to that party.
Tarkov is the same way. I've heard the same thing about Tarkov. So,
not everything Russian is mob related, right?
Mob is not Russia. I mean, there's a Russian...
You just heard about the whole Last Jedi thing with Russia, right?
What?
Did you not hear about that?
No.
Chat, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the story is Russia, when Last Jedi came out, they were making Russian bots to argue with people about Last Jedi on the internet.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, that's become a whole...
To sow discourse in the United States.
That's become a...
That's not a joke, that's a real thing.
I don't believe you. Well, no way.
It's totally true.
There's no way.
So it's funny to go
why around. Is that the fucking line in the sand they're going to draw?
I mean, that's just Russian troll farms. They do that about any topic at all. It's funny because I follow some some alt-right discussion groups just to get a feel for what's going on.
Is, yeah.
They got really mad at that because they felt like it discredited that they are very legitimate. It's so weird how people get so defensive about being mad at Star Wars. Anyway, yeah, this article came out saying that like a lot of the discourse around Last Jedi, or the negative discourse, specifically a lot of the hatred directed to Rian Johnson, came from a lot of Russian bot factories and sources and stuff.
Mm.
And then all the dudes who were mad at Star Wars were like, no, it was genuine, and how dare you imply otherwise? So it was a fun back and forth. They referenced a study that all the mad dudes said was invalid. Whatever, man. Star Wars, it's fun.
Trolling is my own, how dare you? Yeah, it's... Like, ownership online has become such a murky thing now.
Especially when you're trying to own toxicity.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, I meant what I said. Don't...
There are stories on both sides of this Russian bots with the Last Jedi thing.
Yeah.
People are saying, absolutely, that it did happen. And then CNET's like, no, that's not what happened. Which is exactly what they want, by the way. The Russian bots.
Yeah, they want us to attack each other.
Don't let Russian bots take over your opinion.
I think this is the deep thought incoming. Raise the alarms here.
Okay. Alarms are going off.
I consider it I both love and hate it that you can destabilize our culture by introducing a little bit of toxicity about pop entertainment. That's how shallow depth culture is in the United States right now.
I agree.
It would be cool if we were self-aware enough to recognize that and then act on it. But as a collective, we are not. No. We are a...
American culture is about ingesting pop and media.
And,
that's it.
As quickly as possible. So there's no time for that reflection.
It's all ingestion and then vomiting reactions on social media. And then congealing into like-minded thinkers, and that's it. That's our culture.
I usually try and think about the thing I'm going to say on social media before I say it, generally, because I don't want to sound like I'm reactionary. I don't know. That's something and honestly, like if I was 20 and I was doing it on Twitter, I would not have done that. Like I would have just been like reaction, bah, garbage, bah,
garbage.
You know, like, and that's the like. I think it's just something that as you get older, it's something that you do. You just think about stuff more. Because you realize the consequences later on. Whereas when it's earlier, there aren't as many consequences because you don't have as much...
But I think that's also a byproduct of us being in the public eye to some degree.
Definitely.
Because we have to 100%. Think a lot more about what we're going to say and what example we're representing compared to someone that's like, I have 10 followers on Twitter. I don't give a shit what I say.
Yeah,
like,
I can say whatever.
I'm purely going to be a, you know, stick in someone's side if I think they deserve it.
100%.
I have another theory. I think that people vent negativity because it creates the illusion of having discerning taste.
Well, of course. I think it's even a theory.
I've had people even say that back to me. So there was like a... I moved way past this, but there was an interesting thing at the Game Awards where like Linus from Linus Tech Tips was like plugging TVs. And I was like,
oh yeah, that's
weird. He reviews TVs. To have him in an ad for TV is a conflict of interest, isn't it?
Well, doesn't he do ads all the time?
Yeah, he does. He does. And people, I think the real linchpin is, and I think the way you preserve editorial integrity there is... The ads did not have qualified or opinion statements. It was like, this is what the TV does. It is this big. Yeah. It has these features. And that was it. It wasn't, these features are great or I've used them and I like them. Okay, so I get that there. The interesting thing was I also had people saying, oh, it's okay because he also will be very negative about other products. So it proves that he's like, it maintains the illusion of a bell curve, I guess. The thing is, I know for a fact, and I've talked to, I mean, the people that I'm mysteriously referencing, I'm not going to reference them by name, but I know that there are times when if they played a bad game, because I'm talking about games, they would be inordinately harsh on it to prove that they still had the chops, that like they still were able to really burn something down if it was bad. They viewed it as a way of like reclaiming cred if they put out too many positive reviews, and I was like, what a self-involved way to think about something, because hundreds of people worked on this thing. It deserves it deserves the same approach that something that had a big media spend and a huge budget does too. You just think you got an easy target to try and reclaim some of your cred with your audience, which is kind of gross.
But that actually works.
It absolutely
works. And it works a lot.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing it's YouTube especially, like, is very reactionary.
Look
at him. And he never gets the snow angel, by the way.
YouTube is scary.
There are channels with millions of subscribers that were founded on this very principle, and it sucks. Like, actually, I think the stuff that some of those channels makes, they're funny and like, you know, whatever. I get it. It's their shtick. But does it reinforce bad thinking? Does it reinforce like bad behavior? Maybe. Well,
the audience wants it. And then what's crazy is when enough media people or like big thinkers or internet commentators start doing it, then they assume that that's the norm. And then when somebody doesn't do it, they accuse them, specifically me in this case, of being like pro-corporate or pro-shill. I didn't take the shots when I could take them.
So actually, great story. Kraken and I just did this, but I took a different approach than Kraken, I think, for Stadia.
Yeah.
I did the Stadia sales thing. They sent it to me a month and a half ago. I knew that everybody was shitting on Stadia. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And then once the shoot is over with, I know the Stadia shoot's going to be like, it'll be really positive of Stadia, et cetera, et cetera. But whatever I say during the shoot will only be true for me. So like, if I'm saying like, I'm not there, if they give me a line to say, I'm not going to say it. But if I'm like, yes, I played the controller actually worked really well because it did. And when I was wired, it worked extremely well and I didn't notice a difference at all, which is exactly what happened. And so when I tweeted it, because I knew I'd have to tweet it, I told everybody, I replied to the tweet and I was like, if you want to know what happened during the shoot and what is wrong with Stadia and what is right, reply and I'll tell you. and a bunch of people just shit on me. They're just like, they're like, you're fucking dumb, you're stupid, Sadie's garbage, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, just ask a question, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Contradicting the narrative, Bruce. We all agreed. We all agreed.
Stadia is bad. Yeah.
And we thought you were on our side.
And the fact of the matter is, yes, Stadia, when it's when it was on Wi-Fi, did not work. Like, it didn't work at all. It worked on a phone, but in terms of the other devices, like the tablet and the computer, no way.
Yeah.
But when I wired it, the thing worked exactly like it should have, and it worked exactly like I was playing Destiny. So, for me, that was pretty cool. And when I walked away, I was like, that was really neat. And so I knew everybody was going to shit on me, and so I was like, just ask me the question. Ask me what you think went wrong, and I'll tell you what actually went wrong. So, I don't know. That was the way
That was kind of my same experience, where I, while on set, you had to kind of watch what you're going to say in case it's going to be taken out of context. Because, you know, there's obviously, it's an ad. They're trying to get certain ideas across, but you want to be true to yourself. And, you know, they're not requiring you say anything. You didn't sign that you have to say anything. It's going to be kind of a, you know, touch and go moment of like, you know, okay, this is true in the moment. You know, is this true for everyone? Maybe not. But, you know, I'm under the perfect circumstances of being on a set with, like, you know, the best internet possible. So, it worked fine for me when we were wired and we were, like, playing it as, you know, it was intended. And then, you know.
Where was that shoot?
We were in San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was at IGN. So, and they had great internet. Right.
Yeah. And they're just physically close to probably there's probably a Google node, like, right there.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And that was the thing, and I said that in all of my replies. I was like, I'm at IGN, I was in San Francisco, like, and because people were like, what kind of speeds? And I was like, well, here's the problem with that. I don't actually know. Like, you have to go and look at their website to find out what speeds they recommend, because you don't know with this thing. Like, you're going to bring it home, and if you live in Oklahoma, you don't know if you're near a Google node or not.
Yeah.
And you don't know if your Wi-Fi is going to be great or if, like, you're sitting next to it.
There's, like, a bunch of asterisks before, you know, you can kind of...
Yeah.
So a you know, broad-based statement of, wow, it connects great, like, doesn't really work for each individual person because it's, like, entirely dependent on your situation.
Yeah. It's so that's why it's such a weird product.
Yeah.
It's such a strange...
It is a super strange product because, like, with an Xbox, I buy it, I know I'm going to get, like, whether I'm online or not, like, I plug it in and, you know, it's I can play the game that I want. But, you know...
Even that has some... Yeah, not to split hairs, but, like, people bring home their Xboxes and then have to download a 4-gigabyte patch just for the Xbox.
Yeah, true.
So they plug it in and it's like, well... No games tonight, and then you wake up the next morning, if it actually installed fine, you're great. Pop in a disc, another patch. Ooh. All right, got to patch the controller. Ugh. So, I mean, it's funny, because this is supposed to be what Stadia solves, but yeah. Mm. So yeah, it's tough.
It doesn't. It probably will, if Stadia is still around in five years.
This is where everything's going eventually.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, all computing, I think, will be cloud. You won't have a computer, you'll have... a terminal.
Yeah.
You'll log in. Some server somewhere will spool up a session for you, and then you'll be. I mean, this stuff has been happening on Unix forever.
Yep.
Is that you don't have the computing doesn't happen here because that's stupid.
Distributed computing.
It's more efficient.
Because it's everywhere else, and like it's like.
Dude, that's the other thing that drives me crazy. Suddenly, you're just like Stadia, though the ecosystem, the environment. Like, everybody started hand wringing about the amount of power Stadia was going to use. Like, you're not already burning that shit right now. It's just going to happen somewhere else.
That's a weird line in the sand to draw.
Yeah, no, it is. There are people who find things to wring their hands about and shedding a tear for the environment, which deserves all the tears in the world, by the way, right now.
Sure, of course, yeah.
But with
the Australia fire.
Yeah.
Wrong thing to bark at. If you're doing all the processing in a central location, boy, does it become much easier to make that efficient than 20,000 PCs distributed in everyone's home. Or you just change the power they're on to something renewable and then you fix the problem. But we're not doing that. We're burning coal. Anyway... I got a new energy drink sponsor.
Show us.
Oh.
So, I tried to go back to my roots last time.
You can't. You cannot reveal what it is.
No.
Until you give us like a 15-minute spiel about it.
That's true. Well, it's an ongoing narrative, Bruce.
Okay.
Things shift. Things change. Wait, we took last week off.
Tins already knows what it is.
Hey. Oh yeah, because I tweeted it.
Yes, I.
What'd you tweet it out?
It was a teaser. I got to get people to click the link. So they watch the stream, and then when we sell our shoes or whatever, we're going to get all the money. And then I won't need this energy drink sponsorship. It's a vicious cycle. Go Rooster Teeth Games, whatever. So I went back to basics last time. I got to start all over now, Bruce. Reset the clock. Jesus.
Right.
I thought Dragon Ball was going to be the... I mean, people look at me and they see Goku, right? I've heard
That's
that.
That's what I see.
A lot. Like, all the time. So I thought it was perfect, you know? Drink a little energy drink, get that spirit energy going.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't work. But I got an even better idea. This one's gonna kill.
Oh.
All right? There's a hit movie coming up.
That's true. There, I mean, it's not a hit, but we don't...
Hit movie.
You can't call it a hit movie because we don't know yet.
And
is it Cats?
No.
It could be
Cats. Cats is also not
what
a hit.
What is a Cats feel?
Cats is a defined bomb.
Okay. I mean, I feel like the... Okay, never mind.
Sorry, it's a bomb. I promise you.
You know when you need an energy drink, all right? You need a little pick-me-up. You need to zoom around. The speed of sound, maybe?
I do need to zoom around. Not necessarily
the speed of sound. Who's the one person you think about when you're feeling a little low?
The Flash.
Something like that. Is it better?
Superman.
Also better.
Batman with his car.
Stronger than Batman.
Car, that's good. That's a good one. Hold on. Well, who's fast? Thor. He flies around with a
Thor with the hammer.
That's okay.
Is it Thor with the hammer?
That's a little electric. That's getting there.
Is it Guardians of the Galaxy with a spaceship?
Yes. It's even better somehow. That's right.
Iron Man with his jets.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's Sonic!
It's Sonic, baby! All right. Sega, I'm going to drink your speed energy drink.
Ew.
That's what it's called for some reason.
It's got speed in it.
If it's full blueberry, then what is it?
Here, go ahead now. Here it is.
Yeah, I don't know what color, or I don't know what flavor that's supposed to be. I'm going to guess it tastes like friendship. Because that's all I think of when I see Sonic. It's also classic Sonic. Look,
friendship is rancid, for the record. I wouldn't recommend
it. You've tasted it before?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
40 grams of sugar. 80% my daily allotment, right? In one can.
Sugar?
That's easy.
You almost get it all in that can.
Yeah, you almost.
That's so convenient.
That's really bad. That is really, really bad.
Hey, haven't you ever wanted to just hang out with Sonic and just do some pixie sticks?
What color is it?
Sonic would definitely do a pixie stick.
It better be blue.
It looks good.
Don't pour it out.
Pour it on his computer. Pour it on his
I need a glass or something. Yeah, let's pour it in my palm.
Show everyone. They want to see what color it is.
Here, let me go full screen. Right,
I'm gonna try real hard to not pour this all over your keyboard.
Pour it in his hands.
There, you see a little bit of it there. There we go.
Here.
It looks clear to me.
Let's pour it over his phone.
Not my phone either. There's a lot of...
They need to know. Everyone's asking. Look at it.
Here, I'll
take... Is clear? Garbage?
I'll take a sip. Take a sip and tell you what color it is.
It's clear. Or you just put it in your mouth and open your mouth.
Yeah, I think that's clear.
Okay.
I don't think they wanted to put any...
Put a whole bunch in your mouth, and then hold it in your mouth, and look at the... And then show the camera.
Open your mouth.
Oh, wait. No, it's got dyes in there.
Oh.
Like what?
It better be blue dyes.
FDNC Red 40, FDNC Blue 1.
Blue. There we go.
Blue and red.
It's got some blue. That's what Sonic is.
Oh, wait. It contains one or more of the following, so it's really a roulette what color it could be.
It should be blue and red, though. Sonic is blue and red.
Ester of Wood Rosin?
Shoes? Blue. Put it in your mouth.
Not shoes are red.
Shoes are red.
That's what I said. He's blue and they're red shoes. Yeah, I did.
You said, shoes, comma, blue? You gotta say comma, otherwise
I spilled it on myself already.
Whatever.
Well, show everyone. Show them the color.
All right.
Oh, yeah, they want us to put in a cup.
But we don't have
funnier.
I do have a cup.
This is funnier.
And I spit it up?
Yeah, we can kind of see it.
Spit up in the air.
It's clear. It looks like cum now. Looks like you're gargling that.
Just like Sonic. All right, here. Pour me a little glass.
Take a little shooter of Sonic juice.
Oh, it's purple because of the blue and the red.
It is purple.
We should have.
That is confirmed. It is purple. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Well, Sega, holla at your boy.
Purple.
If you want to lock down this space.
It actually tastes pretty good, I'll be honest.
Blah, yeah, you put enough sugar in anything, it tastes great.
It is mostly sugar now.
It's just high fructose corn syrup. Anyway, if you want your product represented in that fashion, I'm staking out my space right here. This is not going to take up any other inventory, so we're still going to have five ad reads on this podcast like we discussed.
Five?
Yep, five ad reads. Yes.
A lot.
I mean, half, that's not a big deal. When's the last time you watched anything on TV? It's like, it's like all ads. Jeez.
People were asking us to put it on iTunes, too. We still got to do that.
Yeah, I got to do that. I'm sorry.
Put it on iTunes and...
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've been getting distracted.
SoundCloud.
I will. I promise. Before next week, there will be a feed.
There you go.
iTunes is easy. Google Play is easy. SoundCloud actually kind of sucks. Don't ask me to do SoundCloud.
Just do Google Play
SoundCloud's
and iTunes.
Fun.
Yeah. Stitcher, Google Play.
Stitcher.
iTunes is easy. Spotify, ain't no way, man.
Why?
They don't accept all comers. You gotta
really?
You gotta be prestige. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Rooster Teeth, it took us like 9 months to get on.
What?
Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah, break.
I was writing to them a lot. I was like, why the hell are we not? Yeah, no. Maybe they're just being really selective when they started. Maybe it's easier now, but.
How do you feel?
I feel
like you can go fast?
I feel accepted. Yeah, I feel
I feel accepted.
Sonic doesn't have any friends. In the new movie, he's an alien.
But I'm gonna be his friend.
He's an alien that comes down.
Are there any?
Yeah, he's lonely and he needs butts.
Do any friends come with him?
No,
not even one.
Although at the end, it's going to go the end question mark.
And oh, and then nothing. Tails.
Well, tails. Tails. You're probably right. Yeah. Well, actually, let's put bets on it right now. Okay. Who do we say? That's all.
$20 on Tails.
All right, $20 on Tails.
I think you'll see Tails. I think you'll hear a reference to Knuckles.
Wow.
That's super specific.
But they can't give it all away.
I think you're going to see Cream.
Cream! Cream's coming back.
Cream.
The character everyone couldn't wait for. Cream.
I think it might be Shadow. I think Shadow, since he's the cool Sonic.
Yeah, he's the cool Sonic.
I mean, he's the urban Sonic. Cool Sonic is Knuckles.
Wait, is he
urban
Sonic?
He's got
guns.
Does he have guns?
He has an assault rifle.
He does. Yeah, no, in the game Shadow, he does have an assault rifle. Seems just wrong. I never wanted that.
I will say it all to you. I've said it on every stream that we talk about Sonic, or I talk about Sonic. Sonic is a living joke. Don't ever take anything seriously about Sonic. All right, everybody?
Sonic Mania was a fun video game.
That's fine.
And Sonic Adventure Battle 2 is a fun video.
That's
fine. It's got banging ass tunes.
Sonic's
a living joke. Okay, everybody, I want you to know. So don't ever go to your friends and be like, "Man, did you guys see that new Sonic movie? Wasn't it cool?" Because it wasn't.
Have you ever read 500 issues of Archie comics as a joke?
My good friend Dave loves Sonic for the morality and the lessons that it taught him as a kid.
That's nice.
And he's one of the nicest people I know.
Is that Dave that I've
been
with?
Yeah.
Dave's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
But Sonic X. He's wrong.
He's not. He Sonic swears by Sonic.
Sonic is a living joke. All right? Don't ever think that Sonic is cool. Don't ever tell anybody Sonic's cool because he's not.
So wait a minute.
Sorry.
I could be wrong about this. Drawing this from memory. Isn't there some kind of weird thing where like somebody did a series of Sonic comics, but then they lost the rights to Sonic, but they kept the rights to everything else? So now they're doing their own Hedgehog comics that aren't Sonic, but are Sonic?
No way.
I'm pretty sure that's happening, right? Chat, you guys know what I'm talking about.
People are saying yes.
Yeah, it's very much a thing. What is that? What is it called? Penders? What's it called post-Sonic? Because I got to get in there.
Penders?
What? Oh, that's the guy.
Ken Pender. Oh, Penders
Who's Ken Penders?
It's echidna-based. But Knuckles is an echidna.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There's a whole island. I mean, it's basically Jamaica. But there's a whole island of echidnas. And there's a whole family tree of echidnas.
What's Sonic backwards?
Conus?
Conus.
It's Conus!
Wait.
It's Conus!
Sinos.
Sonic.
Sonic.
Oh, no, it's Sinos.
Yeah, Sinos.
Or Sinos.
There we go.
Or Kinos.
Sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
Kinos.
Sorcerer of Outrealm.
Kinos the Echidna.
Wow.
That's so cool. See, now that's cool.
No, that's pretty cool.
You guys should look up the family tree of Knuckles because there's some rad echidnas in there.
Really?
There's like dudes wearing wraparound shades.
Is this an image that I can look at?
Yeah. Oh, I think it just type in Knuckles
as soon
family
as you're
tree.
Typing
Knuckles family
in,
tree.
As soon as you type in any Sonic base, we are going into the wild zone.
Just type, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Images.
This is in depth.
So that's the names. There is one that where they all have photos. I think this. Oh, that's from Ko. Nice.
That one.
I'm trying to think of the image. I mean, the one below, like all the Samoan echidnas, is pretty good. Oh wait. Hold on. Scroll back up. That okay.
This
middle
guy,
right.
This
yeah.
One here. Okay.
There. Look at how sick all those echidnas are, huh?
I know. I'm trying to move it forward.
Yeah.
Okay, so
there's some cool ass echidnas in there.
There's a robot one. There's an old
Brotherhood
one.
Brotherhood of Guardians.
There's another old one.
There's one with
there's another old one.
Countless echidna families would have their lives affected by this blood feud.
Look at that guy with the cyber shades.
Crossing time and space, growing more convoluted with each generation. What the fuck?
Oh my god! It's like Into the Spider-Verse, but with echidnas.
Is that Mega Man?
It's like a cyber echidna.
Is that Jordy LaForge Knuckles? It is.
I think it is.
Why the fuck would they do that?
One of them,
Doctor
like,
Knuckles.
Got like a
ghost knuckles,
a dread knot around his dreads.
Yeah,
how did that happen? What's going on there, man?
Is that Yogi Bear Knuckles?
Yogi Bear Knuckles.
Do people in Jamaica hold Knuckles aloft as their cultural export?
I don't think anyone ever.
I had no idea
from Jamaica.
I had
would.
No idea that he was Jamaican.
What did you think when you go to sleep at night? And your last thoughts are of Knuckles the Echidna before you drift off to sleep.
It never is.
You're telling me that none of these days it ever occurred to you that he was a Rastafarian?
I mean, I knew he was because of the conversations that we've had at Funhouse.
I do bring it up a lot. That's true.
But I would never, ever... I don't think about
Knuckles
it.
Knuckles is not Jamaican. How dare you?
How about this, guys? Also, this is another important point that I'm going to bring up. If Sonic the Hedgehog bombs...
There's no way.
It's going to. But if the movie bombs... Like, for example, it doesn't make its budget back.
It's going to.
If it doesn't make its budget back...
Kids' movies always make
it. Then the internet has failed it. Because the internet begged for them to fix it. That's true. And not to mention that...
No. The internet did not beg for them to fix it.
They complained about it.
They made fun of it. And then Sony's like... Was it Sony? Paramount? Warner Brothers? Paramount? I forget. Whoever it was like, hey, we'll fix it. And then everyone's like... Really? And then they did.
I think you've got it all wrong.
No, sure we did not specifically ask for it to be fixed.
There were a lot of people at Bay.
I interacted with it.
Please, Sonic is so cool.
I remember the phrase specifically because it stuck in my mind like a splinter. I interacted with many Sonic fans who said, "This is not the movie we deserve."
Right. That's different from
asking for it to be changed.
Well, that's saying right, a specific change.
Oh my.
Look, I mean,
splitting hairs.
I am not splitting hairs.
I absolutely splitting hairs.
I am not.
Because if studio
executives, if someone came and said, okay, I made you this entire movie, and you're like, this is nothing that I wanted, and then they're like, I'll change one piece of it, and then it's what you wanted, and then you're like,
production on Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
I would take it.
Yes, you would.
I would take it.
What happens if you got
bomb ass
memed out of existence when you put out your garbage Sonic?
I would lean into it.
Okay, all right, you'd be wrong. Because the movie's going to bomb regardless, by the way. Just so you know.
Did Monster Trucks make its money back?
I don't know.
If Monster Trucks made its money back, and I'm sure it did.
Monster Trucks, the movie?
Yeah. Meet Creech. Remember Creech?
I had no idea this was a thing.
It was a terrible
thing. What about Monster Trucks?
Isn't Monster Trucks just the concept of big trucks?
No! it's an alien that came and took form of a truck! It's like Transformers, except it's a gooey monster man instead of robots. It's great.
Either way,
it made a lot of money.
When Sonic bombs, then the internet can never have anything else.
No.
It can't have anything else.
Don't take this from us.
The internet got Rise of Skywalker.
We didn't make this movie.
Also, so you have to go and see Sonic. You have to go and see it.
I'm going to go see
Sonic. I'll probably see it.
Probably?
Very fucked up.
That is not good.
As everyone else will, because I don't think anyone's going to go
see it sober. You won't earnestly. You won't catch... The Knuckles the Echidna cameo, if you're not sober.
That's true, you won't remember it.
You won't remember it. I mean, you'll remember it for the rest of your life, but you won't really remember it.
It's going to be really... Guys,
oh,
if you don't go see it, it's not... And also, a company just went out of business for you guys.
They did!
Who went out?
The movie couldn't even come out and they went under.
Visual effects company.
Woof.
They did.
The ones they made to go back to work?
They revamped it and they fired them all.
Monster
Fuck! I hate the fucking film industry, dude.
Yep.
This is just like fucking what is that? That the fucking perverted hot dog movie with the Food Fight, where they forced all the animators to go into overtime and then didn't credit them. Like, is it Sausage Party? That's what it was.
America. Yeah, oh right, Food Fight is the real creepy one.
I didn't know that happened with Sausage Party.
It did. Yeah.
Sausage Party was actually pretty funny. I saw it in theaters.
It was bad shit though. It was a French animation company, and they basically drove them to way overtime, didn't pay them extra, and then weren't even credited or some shit. Like they got fucked up. Yeah, it was bad.
I got a hot discussion topic for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real hot question. It's almost as morally gray as the would you produce Adolf Hitler biopic question. So there was a tweet, and I don't remember who credited it and kind of don't care. But it's an interesting discussion topic. I think the original tweet was pretty toxic and gatekeepy and shitty. But the premise was that with the new Switch service or whatever, they have NES games and Super Nintendo games. But they added this tool where you can rewind and do save states and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're an adult, you can actually beat some of these older, harder games. Somebody insisted that if you use any of those tools or play it in a way other than it basically was originally released, then you're not allowed to claim that you beat the game.
Hmm.
Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment? The reason that I thought about it is I was about to accuse Kriken if he goes and sees Sonic the Hedgehog in any kind of deviated state that he did not actually see it and in fact never would actually see it.
Yeah, because
there's only one night.
Okay,
that makes sense.
One night for all time when you can actually watch Sonic the Hedgehog, and if you watch it any other time, you never actually see it. That's what I'm saying right now. Similar sentiment to what this gentleman postulated on Twitter.
I don't agree with this. With your... interpretation of that sentiment. I can somewhat agree with that original sentiment because the office, like the designers, the original authorship of the game comes with a certain set of expectations around just kind of how the game works. And if you're adding new features or mods to a game in order to better help you beat it, like, well, you can still enjoy the game.
It's like a game genie.
Yeah, it's like playing, you know, Game Shark or whatever, right? Like, you're using added tools, you know, to complete it. I wouldn't say you've beat the base game. You've, like, you know, beat a version of it.
So once you say that you're adding tools, weed and alcohol, to beat Sonic, right?
Okay.
Very good analogy.
I'm following this.
I'm not trying
to. In this scenario, yes. I'm adding weed and alcohol to beat Sonic viewing the movie.
You have already said you're never going to watch Sonic the Hedgehog, in so many words. Because you said that you were going to rely on outside help. Because
you only view it as.
Sober?
No, okay. But this is where I disagree with you.
Okay.
Games are interactive, they require an input to complete. Movies will happen regardless. It's a passive viewing experience. So even if
but your state and your environment is part of the movie going experience.
Yeah, but it doesn't require any input for me to complete.
You have to go to the theater. Yeah,
your input is being there.
It requires your money. 100%. It requires
my money. Then I've already fulfilled the requirements. I've given it the money, and now I'm sitting through it, and I'm watching it. I may not remember any of it because I'm blackout drunk and half asleep, but, you know, I was there. I have technically seen the movie.
Well, I was there with the video game and the controller in my hands. I hit the buttons and then the credits rolled. How does that not count as beating the game?
This is, by the way, we're not trying to gang up on you.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying this.
I enjoy, because when I initially read that too, I was like, man, fuck this guy. Because I don't know, I react pretty strongly to people, for one, gatekeeping in any regard in terms of video games. For two, it bugs me when people derive unnecessary, like, smug ego from beating a video game.
Yeah, I know.
Because guess what? They made the game to be beaten. Yeah. So it's not like you didn't climb Mount Everest, which is just a natural, which is also a whole other thing. But, like, people that put this, like, holy expectation upon clearing a game means that you've accomplished something, when really you just jumped through the hoops that were put in front of you. And you did it enough times that you made it through without knocking them all over.
It was made to be beaten.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, challenge is such an arbitrary thing. Like, developers are like, how many continues do you have? Four? And then they kick it out the door. Games back then weren't rigidly focus tested to find, like, a razor-sharp precision window of clearing to make the user feel an optimal level of satisfaction. I don't know. I think it's mostly, like, I felt a certain way when I played it in this way, and if other people don't feel the same way, then their experience isn't valid because it doesn't match what I did. I think you can draw an analogy to that. Like, let's say you go and see Star Wars opening night, 1977 or whatever. You had such an amazing experience. Blew you away so much. Oh, what a... And then somebody else is like, oh, yeah, I've seen Star Wars. And you're like, wait, how? Oh, I streamed it on Disney Plus. Oh, you didn't see it.
Oh, right.
What the fuck do you mean I didn't see it? Oh, well, you weren't there on the night that I was there, in the theater I was in, eating the popcorn I was eating, sitting next to the people that I... You didn't feel it in exactly the same way I did.
I mean, there's also going to be, like, gatekeepers that, like, pick a line in the sand where it's like, I had the true experience of, like, playing it when I was 12, and therefore, you know, I will always... you know the true passion of this game versus you played it after it's been re-released on Xbox and it's different. And it's like, I mean, you know, you can just depends on the person, right? Like when I was a kid played Banjo-Kazooie and that was like a big moment for me on like Nintendo. And that, you know, was a big defining moment in my childhood. But the people that played it as kids on Xbox when it was bought by Microsoft, like, I don't know if I can invalidate their experience. I just know what it meant to me. So you're trying to make comparisons.
That's a good point.
I think I think the thing about art in general. This is going to get really deep and profound. While we watch this dog.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
How to recycle.
And he puts. Oh man.
I'm
so happy.
Art's going to be like once you sort of deployed it into the world, it's no longer yours. And like you can say how you intend it to be. It's like, I mean, it's what Nolan always does with his movies. He goes around, and he did this for Dunkirk. He went around to theaters, or Interstellar, was it? He like, literally took a tour of the United States to figure out the best theaters that this movie would play in, and be like, it should be this level of sound, it should be this level of balance on the screen, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's fucking some dude that watches it on his phone.
Yeah.
right? I mean, and that's sort of the catch there, is once you put it out in the world, that's not yours anymore. And, like, with the video game, it's like, they're going to mod it, and they're going to add
stuff. You can't force how people are going to consume it.
Now, they may be right that it'll be a different experience. But that doesn't mean it's better or worse. It's just different. I used to always make fun of, like, somebody would watch they would watch something on their phone like 10 minutes at a time.
Oh, it was Adam.
That's right. It was Adam. Yeah,
you would watch movies on the subway. Or
I would watch them 10 minutes at a time, and then I'd be like, hey, how is Transformers? And he's like, well, I've got 5 more days to go, mm-hmm. and I don't really know how you enjoy a movie that way, 10 minutes on your phone per day. Because when you come back to the movie, you don't remember the story, et cetera, et cetera. Not that it matters with Transformers, but regardless, it's just totally out there. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. And so I don't know. I think that Lawrence is right. I think the gatekeeping hurts it. I think when somebody's like, you can't do it that mm-hmm. way, I don't know if that helps anybody.
Well, to add extra dimension and complicate it a little further, dude originally wasn't saying you couldn't do it that way. It's just that you weren't allowed to say that you had beaten the game. Which I think if you dive into that, adds kind of another dimension about, first of all, like putting a lot of importance around what I would say fairly arbitrary consideration. Yeah. Because like there's multiple ways to beat a game, even. You can just clear it. You can turn up the continues if it's an old game. You can beat it without dying. You can beat it without getting hit. When do you beat it? And some of those decisions are pretty arbitrary on behalf of the developers.
They're totally arbitrary and subjective. I mean, I think he's probably coming from the perspective of the community of this game that's been playing this game for years. You know, all these newcomers that are now playing it under these new circumstances, like, you can enjoy it and that's great, but you'll never quite, you know, until you meet us where we are, like, you're not one of us. Which again is like just kind of an exclusivity thing, you know. It's like people that want to feel like they're part of an exclusive club.
Yeah.
And that club is, hey, I'd be this game without any sort of, you know, tool assisted, you know, of, you know, speedrun or whatever, then like that's a different thing. So I don't know. I usually let sleeping dogs lie in this scenario.
Like, yeah,
I'm like, absolutely. They're from a community that's very insular. Fine. I wish they'd be more open to it, but also I understand where they're coming from. So, you know, I'm not going to be upset either way.
Since it's about a video game, it's like totally fine. Whatever. They can think whatever they want. But as you get older and you start to see more perspective of the world, generally, like, your world usually gets more global because you start to see outside your little borders. And I'm not saying that's better or worse, I'm just saying it happens. Then I start to worry about the people that are only on in their one little club all the time. Because eventually that one little club works itself into a frenzy and then it does something.
Yeah, and it spills over.
And it spills over into somewhere else that you don't want it to spill over to. And I don't know, the more that you just think about other people and other things that happen around you and like how things are different for everybody, I feel like then you really start to have empathy. Mm-hmm. And I still think empathy is a secret to life.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, that's one of those things that, like, that I hadn't learned that until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, maybe. Even then, and I'm not saying I'm a perfect person, but it's more of like the more that you have empathy, the more you realize, hey, everybody's going through something, you know? I don't know.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's funny that, I mean, you talked about sort of the emotional satisfaction you get from feeling like you're part of an exclusive club. Makes it feel like your qualifications mean more. Mm-hmm. If there are more people who aren't allowed. I mean, God, going through the pre-check line feels awesome. Or like Club 33 in Disneyland or whatever. And there are companies that, you know, will even cultivate that feeling and then charge you for it. It's great. So, the older I get, the more, kind of Bruce, to what you were saying, the more I value empathizing with people and celebrating good things versus driving up divisions to make myself feel better. And I guess that may be unfairly, mischaracterizing. Because Craig, and I do believe, I agree with you too. I think if people want to go to their little clubhouse, they're allowed to put whatever restrictions they want.
Yeah.
Well, to some degree.
To some degree.
Can't be prejudiced. Can't be based on sex.
That's about video game. That's
although
fine.
I guess if it's a thoroughly private club, yeah. So if they want to go over there and do their thing, that's fine. But yeah, it doesn't lead to good things, and I think history's kind of proven that.
I think what you said, Bruce, about having that bleed over into other parts of either their life or other people's lives is kind of where it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's fine if you've got like a super exclusive idea of how this thing should be, but then like once that bleeds over into other parts of your life, or if that consumes all of your thinking, like, you know, everything in moderation. Like, you need to be able to operate out going to the grocery store picking up, you know, groceries, and also you can be in your little insular club where only the people that have like the best, you know, speed runs of a specific game can be accessed to or something like that. Like, you know, the most niche thing possible and also operating in daily society. And if you're going to, like, carry that same attitude or elitism from your former, you know, this, like, you know, elite speedrunning community or whatever. I don't know why I'm harping on the speedrunners, but...
I mean, you're right, though.
It's that idea, you know?
That's the gatekeeping.
Yeah, and then, like, apply it to everything in life, then that's where issues happen.
Very well said. For me, I always have... my own little club, and it's usually just me.
Mm-hmm. It's the Bruce Club.
And it's the Bruce Club, and like the thing I always say is, hey, for me, I think movies should be seen in the theater. And the reason I say that is because generally most movies that are made with the theater experience in mind, usually. But that's not to say that you shouldn't watch The Irishman on a fucking Wii.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, watch it on a Wii. I don't care.
On a Wii U screen.
But you're probably going to enjoy it more if you're in a black box with your focus only on the movie for 2 hours or 3 hours, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Right? Because those are my favorite tweets.
Well, The Irishman is 3 and 45
minutes.
That's
true. 3 hours and 45 minutes. But my favorite tweets are the ones where, like, you know, I'm watching The Irishman as it was intended, and it's on, like, a Wii U. Like a Game Boy Advance or something. Like, you're like, oh,
boombox with a black and white TV.
How'd they get Netflix on that? But yeah, like, that's, and so that ends up being just a club for me. Like, and I'm like, you know, like, hey, I've got reasons that I want to see movies in theaters, but it's okay. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do what I do.
I think what kind of hit me at some point is that I it's funny how, like, I think very mathematically about things. And I think even emotions the same way. It's like the positives and negatives to doing anything. It's partially why I haven't said a lot about Rise of Skywalker, because I don't get a lot of satisfaction from being negative about things anymore.
Either, yeah.
There was a time when I did.
Yeah, me too.
But when it comes to, like, gaming or ingesting media, music, whatever, there's something I like. I try not to get insistent about the way somebody consumes it, because I don't see it as like, well, if I push them, then they'll do it the right way. I see more if I push them, they'll just forget about it. And so if there is somebody who maybe isn't a cinephile or doesn't like going to the theater, but they start watching movies on their Wii U or on their phone in 10-minute bursts, then maybe it will waken something up inside of them, and they're like, I really like this. I kind of wish I'd experienced it in a different way. So I'll start experimenting with going to the theater or whatever. It's weird to talk about experimentation that way. But, like, I don't know why you wouldn't be more inclusive and celebrating of people who are starting to experience something that you like, to drive it back to the original thing, people that are dabbling in retro games because they're on a Nintendo service. And they're only dabbling with them because there are tools to make them more approachable. And out of the, you know, 100 people that dabble, 8 of them might love it enough to play it without the tools. Mm-hmm. And then they will find their way to your society.
This club,
And pay the tax to get inside. But if you start, like, putting restrictions or barriers or stipulations on people who are just starting to get into something, you're pretty much guaranteeing they're not going to go much further than that.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought that was... I remember specifically, I think it was Iwata. It's funny you bring up the Wii. I remember Iwata, when the Wii came out, about a year or two in, they realized nobody was buying anything for it. And they were like, okay. And I think Iwata was talking about how the Wii is a gateway device. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to get this in the hands of old people and little kids who haven't been playing games for 20 years. And they don't have the banked up knowledge a lot of... other members of the audience do, and a huge pushback against, like, Wii motion controls and, like, social games and stuff that was happening then. Yeah.
100% right.
And then they were like, okay, here's the goal. We get them on Wii Sports, all right? And then they play that for a while, and then maybe they like it enough that they want to try something else. Maybe they don't. There's no guarantee that every 80-year-old that plays 5 minutes of Wii Bowling is going to want to play Zelda. But he was like, some of them will. Mm-hmm. And this is how we do it, is we make something broad and approachable. And then for the people who want to know more, we'll have those games for them, too. But it's not just a core gaming device, because we're trying to broaden the horizons. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it's casting a wide net, and then
it is brilliant.
You know, letting there be, like, a much deeper well if they're so inclined to keep going.
And there's a deep well to everything.
There is.
It's one of the things I grow to love about this world, is anything.
Yeah.
Anything can go so deep.
So this is kind of like a specific thing I've been doing the last week or so, but I started... trying to start a series in Dragon Age Origins where I mod the game and then I've been playing through it. And the reason it's been so hard is because this is an old game and their modding tools...
Yeah, it wasn't mod friendly.
It wasn't very mod friendly. They had good mod, like, you could make mods, but it was very hard to, like, accessibly install them. So it's corrupted my game 3 times, and I've had to restart 3 times.
Oh, man.
But I spent 5 hours last night till 4 a.m. figuring out what was wrong, and I finally fixed it. And in doing so, I've like completely re-immersed myself into this culture that I was never really part of in its heyday, but I've been able to kind of rediscover through these like internet archives, which are really fascinating to see, like these old forum posts and like at least 3 different forums where most of these mods existed have been nuked by BioWare. They're like, we do not support these mods.
Really?
They're gone. And so you're like discovering these like things that link to nowhere, and just like you're trying to piece together this mystery on how this thing works. And it's been really, for some reason, I keep going back to it. Like, I've got so much shit.
It's intoxicating.
It is an archaeology project. Yeah. Like, there's so much that I could go back to, and other things I could do, but I've been going back to keep making this thing work for some reason. And so whenever it's broken on stream, we've turned to Dragon Age AMVs.
Hell yeah!
And the AMV culture early internet, I almost want to do a podcast on that alone, because like there are so many different subsets of communities and passionate cultures that have like realized themselves through these awful videos that are just time capsules of just passion and enjoyment, and they're so fun to watch. Like, I've really enjoyed that project. So
my mod's blonde. Is there a?
Hopefully, there's a mod in your chat there.
I can get it. Hold on.
All right, Lawrence is gonna ban him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it's funny you say that, because that's like, it's one of those things where
I'm not gonna blur that out.
Oh, do you? You don't have to.
I don't want to let this dude promote his shit on our stuff. It's gonna be in the video.
The archaeology of that, it is really exciting, because so the AMVs were, in my opinion,
stopped. What's his username?
AMVs are. Oh yeah, just going blue. The AMVs are basically what everybody else on
YouTube.
Oh, he
made it really hard to spell.
When YouTube first started, when YouTube first started, that's all it was people were repurposing pop culture or whatever they liked with music and with different cuts and with different editing.
Okay, you, Jess, thank you.
And that's all it ever was. And they started.
No,
YouTube had to enforce the copyright thing because of that shit, because of AMVs and because of all that stuff.
Which is sad. It's a sad.
I actually don't think it's funny, because I don't think it's sad. I think it's the opposite. I think it's people getting their legs under them,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, oh, you know what I really like? I really like Dragon Ball, and I also really like this fucking rock track from Default, which is a terrible band you should never look at. I'm gonna put them together and figure out how to edit it together. Now, ideally, that person pursued creative things and got better at made their own thing. Didn't only you know repurpose shit that already existed, but like started to make their own thing. That's so cool. I think that's the cool thing.
You can still do that though.
Yeah.
It just gets claimed.
Yeah.
Like everyone treats that like it's the end of the world, but
there are some channels that are still active in this. It was funny, some of them were posted 10 years ago, others were like 2 months ago. It's like they're still making AMVs. And I think my favorite ones though were seeing in the description, it's like, this is my first video. I just wanted to express my love for this concept.
That's cool.
And then, like, please
like
be
the
nice.
The Windows Movie Maker font.
I mean, some people watch that, they're like, oh, that's so cringy. But, like, I personally love it. Like, I think it's this, like, really just empathetic moment of, like, seeing someone's, you know, experience. And, like, the editing can be atrocious sometimes. Like, there was one where it was just the entire trailer uncut, with like Skrillex in the background, and like the drop came and it wasn't even timed to anything. It's like a guy walking as the drop comes, and I'm like, that physically hurt me. But like,
that's because you're an editor.
Right. Yeah. But just the fact that someone still heard this song by Skrillex, like, that's sick, and like loves this game so much, and they're like, this game's sick. Like, what if they were together? And just like made that himself, like generated this remix. I love
it. Making that teaches a novice something. Tracks are, what video tracks are, how to export a video. Those are basics you don't know when you're getting into it. So everything's a learning process.
I was ripping off Jackass when I was a kid, because I love Jackass.
Of course.
And I was like, holy shit, if I get a video camera and get my friends outside, we'll just make Jackass. And we did. And I mean, like, it was, I'm sure if we put it up on YouTube, because YouTube didn't exist at that point, everyone was like, this is fucking dumb. You know, like, oh, this is Jackass. But at least I learned how to use a camera, make a video, maybe even, like, edited a few things here and there. So I started getting my feet under me because of those creative endeavors. So I don't know. I think that they're fun. I think it's cool.
Hit yourself in the balls?
I don't know if we ever did that.
Aww.
We just recording yourself.
Yeah.
We definitely pissed on a dollar and put it in front of a store so that people would pick it up.
Nice.
Wow. We did that. We didn't show us pissing on it.
There is that YouTube channel.
We should have, otherwise how am I going to know that you actually pissed on it?
I got to upload it first.
Yeah.
That's $1 million right now.
I don't know about that one.
Piss prank. Pissed on ya.
Piss prank, semicolon, pissed on ya. The video sweeping the nation.
That's a good title.
2 million views.
That's a good title, yeah.
Pranks are basically done now, right? On YouTube, prank videos.
No,
they're not. I think they're eternal.
Still, okay.
Yeah.
Pranks are eternal.
Well, I mean, but pranks got to a weird spot where they weren't even pranks. It was like kissing prank, and it was just people making out. That's it. That's the prank.
No, yeah, that's just a couple of.
Yeah, fuckers. It's just to make 11-year-olds get awkward boners for the first time.
Yeah. Ugh.
Look at them eating.
It still works though. Still love pranks.
Yeah, teenagers are awful. YouTube is. Once you realize that,
teenagers have always been awful, but the people that exploit teenagers being awful are the real awful ones. That's like when you know.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Might as well make some money, right?
But like, okay.
If they're gonna be awful, harness it. Put it in a power plant. Let's get squeeze some dollars out of those stupid money. Waste of
kids. You could manage a teenager.
I'm being devil's advocate right now, just to be clear.
You could imagine if. See,
I'm not gonna engage with it though.
I know you want to be a Zoomer. So, yeah. Since you want to be a Zoomer, you just hire a Zoomer and then milk him for all they're worth.
Man, exploiting teens, that's some real boomer shit, though, isn't it?
That is some boomer shit.
I mean, it is, but he's a boomer.
Wasn't there that...
Not even close. I have at least 2 generations between me and the B word.
The B word.
You know what else starts with B?
What?
Bruce.
It's true. But I'm not a boomer.
B for boomer.
I'm not.
B for boomer.
Just like Kraken, I am not a boomer.
Mm-hmm.
Not. All right?
You don't know anything about Steven Universe, Bruce.
That's true, I don't.
It's the only way to prove it.
I watched it a couple of times and didn't think it was very cool. Sorry, everybody.
But it's so inclusive.
I mean, yeah. But so is everything right now.
Yes.
Which is fine.
Except for that one dude on Twitter. Bang.
I saw a really funny reply about like how Battlefield... Like, somebody was upset about... They were still yelling at Battlefield 5 about about the fact that there were women in the game. And, like, somebody replied to this dude and was like, this dude's still fucking mad about the fact that there's a woman in this
game? That reminds me of, like, the warrior in Japan, like, that thought the war was still going on. He's, like, on a Japanese island somewhere in the jungle and was, like, waiting for Americans to come.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys kind of talk about secluding into your own little thing and just getting worked up and hyper-focused on one thing. That's what that is. There are discussion circles that... see that as a battleground in the war for culture, which is also the thing that Russian trollbots are playing into, is that, you have to push back on this wave of inclusiveness that's corrupting our youth and teaching them all these dumb ideas like women can shoot guns. No. Pussifying our men, Bruce.
No, pussifying.
There's 20 million grams of estrogen in an impossible burger patty.
I tell you, I fucking love it when I stab a woman in Battlefield and she screams. It's great. Like, I don't mean that it's like great that I like did harm to a woman, but it's really funny. It's funny.
It's weird because...
All right, boomer.
As equivalent as I want to be...
I'm not a boomer. Remember I said?
There's, like, when that happens in Battlefield, it kind of... It makes me a little uncomfortable. Same in Mortal Kombat, man.
It makes me uncomfortable, too.
Women get...
Yeah.
Eviscerated in Mortal Kombat.
In Mortal Kombat, for me,
but
it was...
cool, though, because it's inclusive.
It's equal.
In Lara Croft...
But it makes me feel weird.
Lara Croft, the game, almost fetishizes her getting fucking... demolished.
It does, yeah.
It's weird. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but like...
No, it was a thing.
No, it totally does.
Their death moment, like their death cams are so much more like fucking visceral than like most adventure games. I don't know why. It's very strange.
I mean, a lot of the game is pretty visceral, but you're right. The camera doesn't linger on enemies dying as gruesomely as it does Lara.
Yeah.
I just thought it was because they liked... They thought it was funny that you were dying. Like, there was like one of those things.
It's not very comedic.
It's not very funny.
I think it's to drive up the terror of those moments. Because, like, a lot of.
That's what I mean.
This is me being very apologetic. But a lot of Tomb Raider, especially the reboot. I thought that was a. Somebody photoshopped in the controller, but that's fine. It's still a good photo.
Yeah, they did. I see it now.
Yeah, you gotta look at the pixels.
And, the fucking. The game itself.
All right, never mind.
Awful.
Photoshop. Sorry, buddy.
So much of Tomb Raider. Was trying, like, as it was very, like, Lara Croft versus the nature of the island, which is, you know, environmental hazards, dying because you're drowning or getting your head bashed open on rocks and stuff like that. And if, again, being apologetic, I thought those sequences were to drive up the terror and the danger of those environmental things.
Well, okay, that makes sense, like Joe's saying, in Dead Space, where that's like, the whole point is like this body horror, you know, actual horror experience. Lara Croft wasn't really a horror game. It's like an adventure game.
It's like a suspense.
There's a suspense, but it's like also
there's zombies,
empowerment and stealth and like a bunch of other stuff. And then, I don't know, it felt like it was a little out of left field for me. Like,
It was notable. Which is, you know, when something sticks out, then tonally, yeah, there's something weird going on there. And man, it's a lot of the developer discussions around the Tomb Raider reboot were a little funky too.
Really?
Yeah. This is digging way back, but there was a sequence where she's supposed to be sexually assaulted, and then it's like, oh, it's her rise to empowerment, which is a trope that women can't be strong unless they're broken first.
Yeah.
There were things like the developers were like, we're gonna make her a little fatter because we don't want her to be a sex object. And I was like. And a lot of people are like, she's an adventurer, dude. She doesn't have to have, like, they wanted to make her look like, you know, like a nerd girl that hangs out with the dudes. Because it was, like, very dude-focused. It's like, how are guys going to like her? Well, maybe she's like a D&D girl.
Really?
I'm reading into it a lot, but they did say they wanted her to have some baby fat to make her, like, seem more innocent.
Like she's like an adventurer jumping around.
Yeah. No, she's supposed
to be burning calories right and left.
Basically. She's supposed to be female Indiana Jones. Which... It's okay for her to be sexy because Indiana Jones is sexy.
Yeah.
He gets shirtless in Temple of Doom and it's fucking awesome. So I always thought it was, I don't know.
It reminds me of the...
Tomb Raider is weird because everyone thinks that Lara Croft is hypersexualized and the marketing material kind of did that, but the games never did. At least not until Angel of Darkness, but that game blew. So she was just a thick broad who raided tombs.
Yeah.
And she was rich as fuck and had guns. It was awesome. It's always been awesome. Yeah.
It reminds me of that... Have you read the manifesto from the guy that wrote Ready Player One?
No, no.
You haven't read this?
No.
I've heard about it. I haven't read it.
Ernest Cline?
Yeah. If we're going to... Hold on.
Manifesto.
Okay.
You want to pull it up?
Yeah. So if we're doing the whole, you know, read
off this shit. Oh, is this his... No, I think I made Bruce read this.
Did you meet Bruce?
Did it really?
Is this his love letter to...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's his love letter to, like, nerd women.
I made you read this a long time ago, Bruce. And man,
that reminds me of like what you're describing.
Yes.
Is this it?
Yeah,
yes.
That's it.
He wants nerd porn. Also, this is a very like, remember nerd culture in 2008? This is not so out of place, really.
Really?
Yeah. Nerd culture has come a long way in the last 10 years. A long way.
Yeah, no, that's true.
This would have been seen as progressive in like 2010.
Do you want me to read this or?
I swear you've done it before, Bruce, but you can do it
now. I probably
have. Let's rewrite history.
So yeah, do it.
All right. So he wrote, Ernest Cline wrote, all the porn I've come across was targeted at beer-swilling, sports bar-dwelling alpha males. Men who like their women stupid and submissive. That's right, I do remember this. Men who can only get it up. From monosyllabic, cock-hungry nymphos with gargantuan breasts and a three-word vocabulary. Adult films are popular with these collagen-injected, liposuctioned women, many of whom have resorted to surgery and self-mutilation in an attempt to look the way they have been told to look. These aren't real women. They're objects. And these movies aren't erotic. They're pathetic. These vacuum-headed fuck bunnies don't turn me on. They disgust me.
Dude, they're people too.
The girl in the tweed skirt and the horn-rimmed glasses, Betty Finabowski, the valedictorian. Oh, yes.
Betty Finabowski.
First, I want to copy her trig homework, and then I want to make mad, passionate love to her for hours and hours until she reluctantly asks if we can stop. Ew. Because she doesn't want to miss Battlestar Galactica. But do you ever see that kind of woman in a contemporary adult film? No.
Yeah.
If you're an intelligent woman who's interested in breaking into the adult film industry, and if you can tell me the name of Luke Skywalker's home planet, then you are hired.
It's funny because he talks about one kind of fetishization and says, that's bad. And then goes on to say, oh, this other kind? My kind?
Yeah, my kind
is the right one. It's actually fine.
Yeah.
So you're just discussing two different kinds of taste.
What's wrong with all of it? Let's just...
Also, you can have a ton of plastic surgery and have rockin' tits and still know about Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's possible to do both. I empathize with that a lot because there was a window where I basically thought exactly that. I patted myself on the back for not liking sexy women and like nerdy women instead. Hmm. Although it's actually more masturbatory than anything. It's just like... You're just doing the opposite of what you think toxic masculinity is.
Turns out I just like women.
Yeah. All of them. God bless them.
That was the same.
Half the human race. Big pull to pick from.
A little more than half, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little more.
Yeah.
A little more than that. You're right.
Is that just because they live longer?
3.7, 3.8 billion.
We're burning women. Quick. We're like the, you know, the candle burns half as long and twice as bright.
That's right. We got to make...
All men just...
There's a cost
hurtling towards the great void.
You think men make 30% more salary, because we work harder.
Yeah, we have less
because our time is
less to enjoy it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just kidding.
Time is compressed. We live in hyperbolic time. Wait, no, that's the other way. Never mind.
All right. Well, we should probably stop it there.
Okay.
Now that we've discussed everything,
we solved it all. The internet. We fixed it, you guys. All.
Thanks for watching, as always, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Stick around for the raid.
Sorry about all that stuff I said.
Sorry about all that stuff I said.
Are you sure?
You can't say that.
Work.
Are you sure? That's all that people remember when you end it.
Bye, YouTube.